You can reduce your auto loan rate with UK Federal Credit Union. We offer low auto loan rates so that you can refinance and earn a 1% cash rebate on the amount financed. You can apply at ukfcu.org, at the dealer, or at any of our six locations. It's UKFCU. It's banking only better.
Member qualifications apply. Existing UKFCU loans not eligible for rebate. Maximum cash rebate of $1,000. Full disclosures at ukfcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA.
Going is a paid program. This on 630 is the WLAP Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, you've got to play pinball. And put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the caulk.
I tell myself, what's done is done. I tell myself, don't be a fool. Play the field, have a lot of fun. It's easy when you play it cool. I tell myself, don't be a chump. Who cares? Let him stay away. That's when the phone rings and I jump. And as I grab the phone, I pray.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. This week, joining us, Adarsh Mashru, Mike Johnson, and our host, Tom Dupree.
Okay, that's by Vicky Carr. Could you turn me up a little bit? It's the song is in the movie Moonstruck, where Vincent Gardenia, the father of Cher, and his wife is Olympia Dukakis, he's messing around on her, and he comes home, and he'll pour him a big drink, and he puts this on, and she's going, oh my God, whenever he's listening to Vicky Carr, something's wrong, and and so she was from El Paso, Texas, and of Hispanic origin, and she was just this remarkable singer in the 50s and the 60s, and I think she was still pretty young when she did this. This is 1967, so, but she wasn't really top 40, although she was during all that. The Beatles were, and she's making this kind of stuff, though. Anyway, so it's just kind of interesting. I like music, obviously.
Very Broadway-esque.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah. It's like a show tune.
Yeah.
Very much so. Kind of real dramatic.
Yeah.
Okay. What's in the bipartisan infrastructure plan? Okay. Listen, I don't care if it took out all the Biden human infrastructure things. This is going to be like 90% pork and 10% actually getting something done. So, I know how they do things, and the Democrats have gotten, and the Republicans, really good at figuring out how to pay off their cronies by throwing them these kinds of bones. So you can say it is this or it is that, but whatever they say something is in D.C., it is not that thing. If they say affordable care, it's neither affordable nor is it care. I mean, you know, and it's just any of these things. Equality Act? No, no way. I mean, it ain't about equality. But they always give it a nice sounding name to make it sound like it's something other than what it is. Okay, you guys go ahead and shoot holes in what I just said. I don't really care.
I don't disagree with what you said. The interesting thing, though, looking at this from a market perspective, you did have the market react positively to this. You had, you know, the, if you want to call it infrastructure types of stocks, you know, that started moving. Now, last week, it's interesting, you know, how much of it is due to this versus how much of it is just due to the correction, not a technical correction, but just the drop in the market over the last week or prior week. Starting on Monday, you started to have the market go up. And then once this was announced, you had these other sectors that started doing really well.
Right. So, last week was there were two events. We saw a pretty big drop, especially in what you would call the cyclical stocks. One was the Federal Reserve saying that, you know, they may pull back on their QE sooner than what the market was expecting. And the second thing was more of a technical thing. It was what's known as quad witching, which is on that day, which was the Friday of last week, you know, a bunch of different options expired, weekly, monthly options and futures expired. So that usually tends to be a very volatile day. So those factors combined resulted in cyclical stocks, which includes your industrials, your financials, materials, commodities, dropping. And since then, we've seen a pickup. The announcement of this infrastructure plan was perhaps an immediate catalyst. But apart from that, really, nothing has changed that much. The Fed did not say that they were going to start tightening right away. They are still looking at 2023 before they start, you know, meaningfully tightening. So I think the market was just due for a correction of some sort. And we may not be done yet, but since October of last year, we saw a very impressive move in these, you know, real economy or old economy stocks or your value stocks. And those are the ones that have been pulling back now. And lately we've seen tech stocks outperform again.
And part of the, I think part of the reason on tech is because you look at what the 10-year's been doing or hasn't been doing. You know, the 10-year treasury is at 154, 153 today. And when you had tech going down was when you had all the fears of, you know, the 10-year is going to hit 2% or more, and you had tech pull back. And now it's like the market is now saying interest rates are going to be here. And, you know, I wonder if the pain trade, so to speak, is everybody piling back in, assuming that rates will stay here, you know, because everybody knew 2 months ago that rates were going to hit 2%, quote unquote, new. And now everybody knows that they're going to stay here. So nobody knows.
Right. That's true. So rising interest rates, you know, are a sign that the economy is picking up. And that's what's happened since last year. When you look at where interest rates are, long-term interest rates, your 10-year, 30-year, relative to where they were just a few years ago, they're still below where they were in 2018 and even early 2019. So, whether this has any sort of impact on the market, now it does impact, you know, if you're a bond investor, you know, if you think interest rates are going to stay low or going lower, and you allocate according to that, then yes, it may have an impact. But if you're an equity investor, interest rates right now are really, you know, nothing to worry about as far as your overall equity exposure goes. That's not to say that, you know, the market cannot pull back. I'm just saying that the level of interest rates should not be a consideration, or your views on what near-term interest rates may do should not be a consideration when it comes to allocating your equity portfolio.
Because then you're getting into the market timing and trading, right, whenever you're trying to speculate essentially on what interest rates are going to do.
Right, right.
One thing the market doesn't ask is on this infrastructure bill, where's the money actually coming from? You know, so the market really behaves almost like a whore. I mean, it's just, I know no other way to put it. And nobody's really asking any hard questions about, you know, How much more in bonds have to be issued? And how much of this will really be infrastructure? And one of the things that I read the bond buyer for years, and it was typically a pretty conservative publication, fiscal soundness and that kind of thing. They've kind of almost gone totally over, from what I can tell, to the whole political line that's being spouted in D.C. today. This thing of, this is a good plan, you know, this and that. And many of the institutions, you know, including the Fed, that ought to be asking hard questions simply aren't. And the Republicans are followers. They never really come up with any ideas. They are supposed to be coming up with ideas, but they don't. They end up not. And they are trying to keep all this stuff from happening that's already happened. And, you know, anything they create out of this bill will not be good, because today, to get a construction project done with the amount of different kinds of people you have to hire and the studies that have to be done and the way things are designed to, you know, please everybody, there's no way it can be something that's going to be interesting. So I don't know how they're going to do it. And roads get built in, you know, whoever's got the votes, that kind of thing, instead of according to need, because the role of government today is to try to push you and me into the boxes they want us in. So this will all be used to manipulate. It's not going to be used to, the current administration has already declared they don't care that much about the economy. They care about social justice being done.
Right. The when you look at one of the ways they're saying to fund it is through I think it was $100 billion that they plan to collect by spending $40 billion. So they hope to net $100 billion by
spending 60 billion or
no. So net $100 billion after spending $40 billion to tighten enforcement on the IRS.
Yeah.
So
nothing about stopping government waste.
Right.
Just make sure you're squeezing the taxpayers.
Right.
Let's don't look at the government and where it's wasting maybe trillions of dollars. Let's go after the taxpayer.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
It's interesting. Buffett, you know, the way that he'll talk out of both sides of his mouth on tax policies.
He's getting old.
You look at how much he's given away half of his Berkshire stock. You look at what he said in the past, you know, it's like, okay, if you want to give more in taxes, why don't you just write a check, you know, to the government? They'll take it, you know, they'll gladly take it. But he said that he thinks that, the name's leaving me. I forget which foundation it was, but that it's more efficient at allocating the dollars than the government is. And it's like, yeah, no kidding. Duh.
And so why are you arguing for higher taxes?
Right. And so it's amazing the inefficiencies, of bureaucracy just in general. You know, the government, you look at some large corporations, how just inefficiencies creep in and then they have to go in and right the ship.
That's
essentially
right.
We've seen that so many times with companies. They have to go in and right the ship because there's accountability from the shareholders.
Yeah.
Or to the shareholders, if you will, versus with the government, not really.
No, there isn't.
And so you don't have that accountability. You don't have the efficiencies. You have all this bloat. But with these new things that are happening, it is affecting the market one way or the other. And that's something that, you know, we as investment advisors, you know, portfolio managers have to be aware of, and not invest based on this, but be aware of it and how it interacts with our customer, with our clients' portfolios.
Yeah. So, I mean, you never still don't ever get away from the fact that when all this government crap fails and runs aground and whatnot, or just quits functioning normally, you're going to still have to have companies that make things that you use. You're going to still have real estate. You're going to still have farms. And, you know, I wonder where in history, if you could study it, where a government goes bankrupt, but the people in that country still do okay because they're pursuing sound financial policies, although the government is not. I mean, you know, all through the Weimar Republic and things like that, somebody was still doing okay because you've got companies that continue to function through the great inflations and through upheavals and things like that.
Yeah, I'd say there are many such examples throughout history. I mean, in Germany, even after World War II, you know, there were a lot of companies that survived, you know, and despite, you know, complete, I guess, devastation to the economy.
Siemens.
Yes. You know, Volkswagen.
Volkswagen.
There are quite a few like that. And that's the amazing thing about companies, businesses.
I think BMW was around.
Yeah, and BMW
Mercedes.
Was too, yes. They tend to be extremely resilient because, you know, when you think about what a balance sheet is, you know, a lot of it is hard assets, which endure despite whatever the government does. And, you know, at some point there is, productivity that can be derived from these assets, or these assets can produce something. So their value endures. Companies also tend to be, in order to preserve themselves, they anticipate a lot of these events and take, make moves, whether it be moving production offshore or whether it be, converting their cash to gold or whatever, who knows what they've done. So, businesses, despite, governments messing up, do have the ability. There are businesses, I think in Japan, there are businesses that have been around for 700, 800 years, same, running continuously despite all the government upheavals. So I think it comes down to enterprising individuals who control these businesses. They seem to always find a way to, prevent government actions from hurting their businesses.
Same thing with, different tax environments, regulatory environments. Company, it can be a headwind for them, but companies are very creative because it's the collective creativity of everyone involved in that company. And they can be very creative on taxes, with how to adjust their business model. I mean, regulations, how to work through those, circumvent certain things. I mean, just companies are very good. Companies are very resilient.
Right.
Just like good individuals,
Yeah.
You got to find a way to survive. A company is a corporate person, and there's a reason that it's described that way. And despite the people who would like to make that change, it is not going to change because a corporation has a personality and a DNA. And mm-hmm. That's embodied in the people that are there and know it. And, it's tough for them to change their DNA. Sometimes they can. But, mm-hmm. For the most part, it is what you started it to be.
Right.
Yeah. You know, during COVID and, you know, lockdown, remote working and whatnot, a lot of these companies, that DNA, it was kind of challenged or is being challenged. You know, people that, if you think of a growing company, a big growing company, when you're adding new people to a team, you know, how to instill that corporate culture. It's,
I don't see how you do it.
Very hard, if not impossible.
For new hires.
For new hires.
And even the old one, I mean, you lose the sense of camaraderie and that kind of thing. You know, we had everybody back as soon as we could.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't so much, it was because people needed it. We needed to have something to do, a place to go. And there were still some places down here you could get lunch and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it was good. I'm glad we did it.
Yeah. Well, you look at like JP Morgan, you know, Jamie Dimon's been very vocal the last couple months trying to get people coming back into the office. Into the,
I thought he was the boss.
You know, you would think.
Yeah.
But it basically put out the statement, you should expect to be coming back. I think it's July. It's early July that the employees will start coming back. And I think they're doing it like in a rotation basis.
Yeah.
And I think they're talking about mandating vaccines and all that. So sometimes a company's DNA can get screwed up. You know, it can take its eye off of the customer experience, all these things. And quite honestly, that's where competition is so good, because that's ultimately what's good for clients, consumers, is you have something where the DNA gets screwed up, you have competition come in that elevates and provides a service that's not anymore. And, you know, that's where, you know, we've really been able to carve out a niche, if you will, you know, for our client base, you know, which is providing that service that most firms can't or won't or don't provide.
Right.
And just more specialized investment advice. And that's good. That's good for everybody.
You can reduce your auto loan rate with UK Federal Credit Union. We offer low auto loan rates so that you can refinance and earn a 1% cash rebate on the amount financed. You can apply at ukfcu.org, at the dealer, or at any of our six locations. It's UKFCU. It's banking only better.
Member qualifications apply. Existing UKFCU loans not eligible for rebate. Maximum cash rebate of $1,000. Full disclosures at ukfcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ. But it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today to find out for yourself with just one bite, with flavors like Oreo, cookie dough, and more. DQ, happy tastes good.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to a break. You're listening to the Tom Dupree Show with Adarsh Meshru, Mike Johnson, and Tom Dupree, coming to you from our studios on Main Street, powered by Dupree Financial Group. We will be back in just a few minutes with more of the show after a short break. Stay tuned.
Tell myself, don't be a chump. Who cares? Let him stay away. That's when the phone rings, and I jump, and as I grab the phone...
Always just minutes away from the latest news around town and around the world.
You need to know what's going on.
News Radio 630 WLAP.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
Now serving B24 at DMV window number 7.
Okay, Jim, we're next in line. Perfect, Jim. Things are going very smoothly. You remembered the cell phone bill?
Yes, and the birth certificate.
Nice. We'll have a real ID in no time. That's right. Ready to fly to Carla's graduation and then the big game. Real great work, Jim.
You too, Jim.
Excuse me, are you talking to yourself?
Now serving B25 at window number 10.
That's our cue, Jim. Excuse us.
Talk yourself into Real ID readiness by May 3rd, 2023. Make a plan at dhs.gov/realid.
If the pandemic's taught us anything, it's that the easiest way for germs to get into your body is the nose. We all know how to wash our hands, but how do you clean your nose? For over 2 million Americans, the answer is Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, and germs that cause congestion, colds, and flu so you can breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier. Better yet, Navage is all natural and drug-free. That's why one of America's top respiratory hospitals recommends nasal irrigation to stay healthy, explaining that bacteria and viruses thrive in warm and moist environments and that you can wash away those germs so they don't make your nose their home. Experience Navage at zero risk. Go to Navage.com, buy Navage, and use it for a month. If you're not delighted, return it for a full refund. There's nothing to lose and a lifetime of better breathing to gain. Also available at Target, Walgreens, CVS, Bed Bath, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
We've got a mix of sun and clouds across the area on our Saturday. There's the smallest chance for a little shower or thunderstorm to go up. Otherwise, it's windy and fairly warm. Temperatures into the middle 80s. Make it a great one. From the WKYT First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Chris Bailey.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the heart of Big Blue Nation, this is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeart Radio station.
Welcome to Tire Discounters. Oh, hiya, Phantom.
Mike, where is everyone? The bays are full, but where are the customers?
Oh, lots of people just skip the shop. We pick up and deliver now.
Yes, but Mike...
Some people have better things to do.
But look at all they're missing. I, for one, love the smell of fresh Cooper tires.
Well, you're a little different, Phantom.
Different? Different how?
Skip the shop at Tire Discounters. We pick up and deliver. And right now, you can save up to $250 on Cooper tires from the comfort of your home or workplace.
Hi, this is Tom Dupree. What actually makes a difference in life? Is it Bitcoin? Is it gold? Perhaps it's bonds, racehorses? No. Of any economic entity in which you can invest, the ones which actually make a difference are corporations. They are maligned, taxed, demonized, run by left-wing ideologues, but still, they must produce a profit. They cannot afford to invest in things the way that government does. Their investments must show a profit. Their investments must be productive. We believe our clients like to think their investments are being productive, both for society and for them. For a free review of your retirement investment portfolio, call Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays at 7 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
630 WLAP.
Of telling tales and biting nails of old. But in my mind, I know they will still live on at all. But how do you?
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show for the second half of the second hour. Joining us, Adarsh Mashru, Mike Johnson, and Tom Dupree.
This is by Lulu. She was Scottish. And 1967, it was used as the theme song of the movie To Sir With Love. Sidney Poitier was the star of that movie. He was a black man who taught school in a white school. And this girl is talking about, it kind of explored some racial tensions big time. She kind of had a crush on him. So, you know, back in 1967, that was considered very taboo. So, but that's what this song is about. She's saying, you know, talking about all the way he broadened her horizon as a teacher, I think. It's really interesting movie. The movie's not that good, really, but the song's great.
What?
It's all right. I mean, it's an okay movie. It's actually decent.
Is Sidney Poitier, is he still alive?
I think so. I think Harry Belafonte died. But Sidney Poitier is still around, I believe. Okay, these biases can burn your early retirement plans. Here's how to extinguish them. Now, this is all that fire crap again, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the fire crap.
Explain that, what that is, instead of just the word Tom just used to describe it.
So, fire, financial independence, retire early. It's
like save 120% of your paycheck.
Right. Here's the thing on the fire movement. There are aspects of it that I love and really respect. And then there are other things that are, in my opinion, very debatable and questionable and feasible. The whole premise of fire is you're saving the from a ideal perspective, somebody saves 70% of their income, and then they can retire, you know, whenever, you know, say in their 40s or whatever.
That's not going to happen. Anyway, go ahead. They will be going back to work. I'm just going to tell you.
Probably.
Yeah.
And here's some of the aspects that I like about it, though. This is a movement that's really taken hold, especially with millennials. And I wouldn't knock it across the board. What I would suggest is you take aspects of fire and apply it. You can apply it even to somebody that's still working at age 65. You can still have some of the same concepts. So you look at some of the constants. So when you're looking at a person's financial life, when you start working, so let's say it's age 21. So when someone starts working, and then you have when they retire, think of it on a line, and then you have, you know, death. You have your work life expectancy, which is from when you start working to when you retire, and then you have your retirement life expectancy. And think of it as those two points slide. So if you have a longer retirement life expectancy, well, then that means you have a shorter work life expectancy. So think of, you have that given time, and then that middle one moves back and forth, adds or subtracts from one or the other. So if you have a longer work life expectancy, that gives you more time for contributions compounding before the distribution phase starts. So that's a constant regardless. That's just kind of like gravity. You know, that's the reality that people have to deal in. So whenever you try to stick with the fire movement, really all it is, you know, the first two letters, FI, financial independence, that's a great goal to have. Retire early, that's when you get into verbiage. You know, how do you define retirement? And that's the other discussion. But first, just looking at the financial independence part of it, if you have a plan and stick to that plan, it doesn't matter if you're trying to retire at 40, if you're trying to retire at 70, or if you never plan to retire, you have to have that plan. It could be a savings plan, a spending plan, an investment plan. That's a constant. You have to have a plan, and you have to be able to stick to it and adhere to it. You know, for the financial independence, it really just comes down to how much you're spending, how much is coming in, and living within those means. This is something we've, you know, been able to help so many people with. You know, it's coming up with that plan and deciding how to shuffle things, cash flow, and then put an investment plan behind that. And, you know, when you look at retirement, having an investment plan and a spending plan, how much can you take from a portfolio and, you know, and hopefully not outlive your money. So the FIRE movement, I like some of the concepts. Now where you can really debate it is if somebody retires at 41 because they have $1 million, is that going to last them for 50 years?
No way at all.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump to this one.
Yeah.
This is, so Peter Thiel, I guess that's how you pronounce it, turned $2,000 in a Roth IRA into $5 billion. Thiel's IRA was worth less than $2,000 in 1999, according to IRS data. The account jumped more than $3 billion in 3 years. Do we have any idea of what he invested in? Or is that
PayPal?
PayPal.
He put $2,000 into...
Yeah, so he bought 1.7 million shares of PayPal for less than a penny.
Yeah.
A tenth of a penny. And I think he was one of the founders, so that's how that happened. I mean,
he did the same thing with Facebook.
Right, right. Yeah, so he was able to get those shares, and I guess someone advised him, but he put that in a Roth IRA, so ultimately there are no taxes when he
And this is one.
But you got to take it out in cash, not in kind. You can't take it out as
yes, right. Take it out.
You have to cash it.
Right.
Cash it out.
They're trying to change the law on this. You know, trying to make exceptions to the Roth tax-free law for, you know, things like this. I hope they don't.
Are you looking for your dream home? Well, that means you're looking for your dream loan. At UK Federal Credit Union, we make that dream a reality. UK Federal Credit Union has home loan options to fit your needs with quick pre-qualifications. Plus, you can get special incentives with our Home Plus program to save on closing costs. Apply online at ukfcu.org or at our 6 branch locations. First Mortgage Services is provided by our partner, SWBC Mortgage Corporation. UKFCU is an equal housing lender, and for full details, visit ukfcu.org.
But
so they're taking away the tax-free part of the Roth.
They've talked about it.
Okay.
They've talked about making exceptions for, because this is not what the Roth was intended for, is what they're saying.
Looks like a good idea to me.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. This goes straight into, or, you know, jumping from our last discussion.
Yeah.
You know, this is an extreme example. I mean, kudos to this guy for doing it.
Sure.
This is a rarity. Because let's think about it. A Roth, you can put $6,000 a year into it.
Right.
If you're under 50, it goes up to $7,000 if you're over. So let's say I just did some back of the napkin calculations. So you start at 25 years old and you put $500 a month, which is $6,000 a year. Let's say you earn 6% on it. For 35 years, it'd be worth $712,000.
Yeah.
Now, it's still a good deal. I'm not taking away from the Roth, and that's why I want to illustrate this. If you're just getting started, so I use the age 25, Because let's say, okay, you started working at 22. Now you've got 3 years under your belt. Your income's going up. You try to find that discretionary money where you can put it back into savings. So you put $500 a month into a Roth. Over those 35 years, all you've contributed is $210,000, and it's grown to $712,000 tax-free.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of compounding and using these different tax shelters. I mean, a Roth really is the only real tax shelter out there. I mean, you have 401ks, which is tax-deferred, but I mean, the Roth, that's your tax-free savings right now. And hopefully that doesn't change. You know, once they make an exception for one person, they make exceptions for a lot more people.
I just think it shows that this guy's an incredible genius.
Yeah.
And invested in things that were truly smart. And if you think about a PayPal, that's such a simple, simple concept. And how they make money is just fractional, very, very tiny amounts. And yet, you know.
Elon Musk was also one of the founders of PayPal.
Yeah. What's the total market value of PayPal now?
It's got to be at least $200 billion. It's a pretty big company now.
Yeah. Did it come off of eBay?
It did, yes.
Yeah. Omidar.
Right. That's right.
Omidar and his wife. Yeah.
$339 billion.
Good Lord. It's killing it. All right. So Peter Thiel is just, that's great. Now, I hear that Mitt Romney's got a big one, too, from all his days at Bain. Mm. And he invested in a bunch of deals and put them in his Roth.
Yeah. One of the guys at Berkshire did, too. I forget which one it was. It was one of the lieutenants at Berkshire did the same thing.
The guy that got fired for.
No.
What was that? Buying up Precision Cast Parts before the.
He owned stock in it, or he'd bought stock in it right before.
That was smart.
Yeah.
You lose your job at Berkshire trying to make a couple hundred grand, you know, on a stock thing. Oh, go buy this thing. I own some of it, by the way.
People
are not very smart sometimes when it comes to money.
But with a Roth, and this is something else, depending on our clients' goals and needs, the Roth is where you would put some of the higher, you know, growth, higher yielding types of holdings to try to get that long-term compounding and get that higher rate of return.
Okay, which one do you want?
Let's go on that one here.
You're probably sabotaging yourself when it comes to finances. How to spot it and stop it. So don't play casino games. You know, people do crazy things. And I would say that money shapes you. And you have to say how it's going to shape you, because money is sort of a behavioral exercise in how do you handle money, liquidity, buying power, you know, ways that you can move rocks around. It's like running an obstacle course. Are you going to slam into everything and cut yourself, or figure out how to get in and out? It's the same thing with money. I don't know if that's what they say in this article.
I like where you're going.
Whether you know it or not, you have some behavioral biases, that means shaping, that could materially adversely affect your investment decisions. And there's a plethora of research to prove it. Prospect theory, a study of decision-making under risk. Their research discovered the loss aversion bias. Okay, go ahead, you guys.
So
it's getting over my head here.
So there's just these various pitfalls that you can make as an investor. Recency bias, which is assuming something that happened here recently will continue to happen over and over. And that's real easy to see. I mean, you look at, you know, ARK funds, you look at meme stocks, you look at cryptocurrency or whatever the hot topic is at any given time. That's what, sorry, I just had something made me lose my train of thought. So those are the things that are easy to see.
He was saying buy Bitcoin.
No, I was not.
No, I mean the dog.
Oh, the dog. But you can avoid, if you do research, you look at a longer picture. What you want to do with a when you're investing, when you're developing the portfolio, look at long periods of time and where opportunities are. And when I say opportunities, where are areas that are out of favor? And that helps you get away from always chasing things when you look at areas that might be out of favor, aka cheap.
I think it's more important to invest with an idea of what you consider to be value.
Yep.
And then you look to try to find that thing you're looking for. You know, it's hard to find sometimes. People buy the first thing that comes along. Sometimes it's because they don't know any better. Or they buy the thing that other people are buying because they hope to kind of hitch a ride on that.
Right.
But that's not really earning. That's a form of speculation that people can call. Just like Marty Zweig said in his article a week or two ago, that the Wall Street Journal calls these people investors, but he said, no, they're not.
Right.
There are lots of people masquerading as investors that really aren't. And the reason is they don't have a well-developed idea of what it is to obtain value.
Right. That's true. And this article goes into some of those things you mentioned, familiarity bias, which is people tend to buy something that they know, or
loss aversion is a big one too.
Yes, right. Where people tend to hold on to things which are losing them money, despite just taking a reality check, you know,
they think it'll get back to break even,
right?
When it's already broken down way below that, and there's way too much overhead resistance,
right?
And selling pressure for it to ever get back to that.
Right. And on the flip side, people tend to sell good investments too early.
Yeah.
Because they can't bear.
Imagine if Peter Thiel had bailed out of it. You know, I think, PayPal's gotten too high.
Right.
You know.
So I think the main point of this article is that investing or anything to do with money is very emotional, and ultimately it's important to recognize these emotions and develop a plan where you get these emotions out of the way. So have some sort of a system, whether it be allocating a certain amount every month, or not messing with it too much, and that's what financial advisors do. They make sure that investors stick to their plan and don't let their biases impair their investments.
Right.
Yeah, it's and you're not really able to do that completely by yourself. I mean, because it forces you to be objective about your own way of thinking. And most people can't be, because they can't see how they're thinking.
Right.
They can't see what parts of their thinking are good and what aren't, because the biases are telling them what to think and how to act.
Think of it even from a savings, somebody that's just starting out in saving, you think, okay, beginning of the year, okay, if I get a bonus, I'm going to put it into my investment portfolio. If you don't have that plan initially, when that money comes in your hand, you're going to find a way to spend it real easy. It's going to be much easier to do versus if you have a plan, you're like, okay, you already know where it's going. Same thing with on the investment side of it. You know, if you have a plan, you kind of know where you're going. When these surprises happen in the market, well, you already have a general idea of kind of what you can do or which direction you should be moving. But you know that it's very hard to do any of those things on your own because the self-reflection is a lot of times impossible.
It is.
All right, that's a wrap for this week, guys. You've been listening to the Tom Dupree Show with Adarsh Mashru, Mike Johnson, and Tom Dupree. If you like what you've heard and you like to hear more of the Tom Dupree Show, you can always find the podcast on DupreeFinancial.com. We hope you've enjoyed the show for this week. We will be back next week, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening.
But how do you?
Just minutes away from the latest news around town and around the world.
Scary stuff, and these fires will take lives.
News Radio 630 WLAP.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business, and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
You can reduce your auto loan rate with UK Federal Credit Union. We offer low auto loan rates so that you can refinance and earn a 1% cash rebate on the amount financed. You can apply at ukfcu.org, at the dealer, or at any of our six locations. It's UKFCU. It's banking only better.
Member qualifications apply. Existing UKFCU loans not eligible for rebate. Maximum cash rebate of $1,000. Full disclosures at ukfcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA.